Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of App Chat. I'm Carl Madden, your host, and this is where we talk about applications and the developers who place them in the App Store for your entertainment and enjoyment. This week, a very special guest, a big star of the Mac Show every single week, virtually, the wonderful Don McAllister. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, Carl. I'm fine, thank you. Wonder what you were going to say, what you were building up to there. I was getting a bit worried, yeah.
You are a legend on the Mac Show, I tell you.
Well, I try and get there as often as I get. It's quite nice, the Mac Show, actually. It's normally on a Friday afternoon, so it's a nice wind down after a busy week, you know, and the guys are all great, and we don't take it too seriously, I think. It's all, you know, it's all a bit tongue-in-cheek, some of it. So, but we do discuss the Mac, and we have a laugh, so it's a good release for the end of the week.
That's it. As I say, the weekend starts here when they do
Indeed.
It.
Indeed. I became self-employed, is there such thing as a weekend? I'm not too sure.
Rub it in. Actually, Don, just before we start, I just want to say you're responsible for introducing me to, as it was then, Bagel Tech.
Oh, really?
Following a tweet that you sent out that you was going to appear on Bagel Tech, that I followed and discovered the network.
Wow. Well, there you go. And look what it's led on to as
That's
well.
That's it. So you're to blame.
World domination.
Oh dear. So Don, you've what are your apps in the App Store at the moment?
Right. Well, currently there are four titles. They're all branded under the umbrella title of SEO Tutor, but there are four different titles. The first one was Lion. So this one was really meant for people who are new to Lion, so that they could understand, you know, what Lion was all about, what the new features were. The next one was SEO Tutor for Mac, and that's intended for people who are brand new to the Mac platform, so they can go in and they can learn all about the Mac, and really from scratch. It's from first principles, so it's ideally suited for people who are coming across, say, from the PC world, you know, and or someone gets a new Mac and they've never used a computer before, they can use that one. The next one was SEO Tutor for iPad, and again, on the same principle as the Mac one, really intended for brand new users to the iPad platform. Again, it doesn't assume any prior knowledge. You should be able to just pick up an iPad, watch that particular application, and sort of, you know, get up to speed with it fairly quickly. And the fourth and final one, which was released only a couple of weeks ago now, is SEO Tutor for iPhoto on iOS. So that was that's a new tutorial that's all about the new version of iPhoto on iOS on the iPad and the iPhone.
So the iOS iPhoto one I was playing with over the weekend, and that taught me some things that I never even knew was in there.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, because it's and I think it's the same with a lot of iOS apps. They're not that intuitive, and unless you're actually shown how to use them and what's in there, you might be able to get away with just using the basic features, but there's lots of hidden power in there that isn't really exposed, and it's difficult to expose it as well. I mean, you can sit down and go through read through the manual, but that's sort of like my job. I do that and sort of pull out all the details and then convert that into a video that people can watch quite easily and go back to and use as a reference material. But, you know, especially on the iOS stuff, I do think that because there are no menus to follow, and because just of the way it works with all the gesture-based movements and gesture-based controls, I think to watch a tutorial on a video as a video is a much better way to learn than trying to plow through the manuals, to be honest.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, that's one of the best 69p's I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah. And I've tried an experiment with this one because it's, you know, I put it in at 69p, 99 cents, just for the first month, just to see how it goes, because... And I think with a lot of people, we've really no idea about, you know, how to price these particular applications. So the normal price is £2.49, but for this month, it's in there for 69p. A bargain.
Absolutely. I'm saying it because I'm going on holiday in a couple of weeks' time, and I am definitely going to be using iPhoto to edit my photos when I get back from the amusement parks.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a powerful application. It's in fact, I think in some instances, it's more powerful than iPhoto on the Mac. It's just that they haven't built in the integration yet between the Mac and the iOS version. So if you're going to take photos and edit them, and you know, it's great. It's a full solution now, the iPad, I think.
So obviously, Don, you made your bread and butter, obviously, from the tutorials that are available as podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So was it a difficult process to port them over into beginner apps?
Well, I'm here under false pretenses, really, because I'm not really a developer. I actually have a friend of mine called Simon Wolf, who runs a company called Otter Software. And Simon's the brains behind the coding. And I've met Simon a couple of times. I met him at the NS conference and a few other events. And I'd always sort of said, you know, I'd love to get some apps developed so that I could sort of repurpose the content. Because the Screencast Online tutorials, I publish one a week. And that's like a membership system so that there's some free content, but most of the content is aimed at members, and they become a member and they sort of join up for a month, 3 months, 6 months or whatever. And they get a new video every week. I did get a lot of requests from people saying, well, we'd like, you know, can I just buy a single individual episode? And it didn't really work. I did try it. The occasional show I sort of sold separately just as a downloadable video, but it wasn't really enough. You know, the interest in the single shows wasn't really enough to sustain the sort of like the business model. So I sort of shied away from that. But I did feel that there was still an opportunity there to try and, you know, some of the larger topics, not necessarily every single week, but like, for instance, I'm doing, what will end up being a four-part series on ScreenFlow at the moment. And that's been published every week. And I'm still sort of about three quarters of the way through that series. But in a couple of weeks or a month or two, what I might do is take those four episodes, bundle them in an application, and then, you know, make that available for sale separately. And that's really where the content's come from. The Mac, you know, it was about six or seven Mac shows that I did over a period of time that I've sort of amalgamated together. The Lion one, again, you know, five or six. So this is like long, meaty topics that people can get into and sort of warrants being sold separately. I thought, you know, that the App Store was probably the way to go. The problem was, though, I was trying to be too clever initially. I sort of wanted the app to do all sorts of things. And I didn't necessarily want a single app for every episode. I wanted, you know, an app that was good for members, and members could download stuff, and members could subscribe through it, and we could get new members in through the app. And it was all just a bit too big to sort of take in, you know, and it was a bit too much to chew, really, in one go. So it was only, when was it? It was probably a couple of months before Christmas. I'd spoken to Simon and said, look, Simon, can we just do a basic player, a basic video player? And then I'll just put out, you know, several applications individually. And it went from being what was a basic video player to quite a sophisticated video player, really, because we've created an application or you know, Simon's designed. I've sort of semi-designed it. Simon's coded it. And a guy called Jamie Peake as well. I mustn't leave Jamie out. Jamie's the designer who has done a lot of the graphics within the application. He actually built this sort of framework app that allows me to drop content in and then publish as individual applications. And in that app, there's such things as some special player controls. So you can fast forward or rewind, jump in 30-second increments. You can slow it down, speed it up. There's a really nice chapter mechanism in there whereby you can pop up a chapter list and jump to the individual chapters. Remembers the position you are in within the tutorial. There's a help system. There's even subtitles as well. I was quite conscious of the fact I wanted to make sure that I could include subtitles in all the in all the applications. So primarily for sort of accessibility reasons, but also for, you know, perhaps non-native English speakers who wouldn't be able to follow my audio soundtrack, they can actually follow along with subtitles. And so what started to as a project to develop this very simple video player turned out to be quite an involved process to design this fully featured tutorial package, really, that I can now reuse over and over again as I publish more and more apps.
I'm also glad to see that one of the things you didn't disable was AirPlay. A lot of video things disable AirPlay for some reason. I can't understand why.
No, that was a deliberate decision to try and make use of AirPlay. It does it in a nice way as well in that there's a matrix within the help system. It's a bit complicated, but basically you can, if you have the subtitles on, you can sort of just display the video and the subtitles on the remote screen and keep all the play controls on your iPad or on your iPhone. So, you know, it's quite nicely the way that's been implemented. And the iPhone, again, we've done this in stages. So initially, and I should say really that it's available for both Mac and iOS, all four titles. So initially the player was done on the Mac, and then we released a couple of titles on the Mac, and then Simon ported it to iOS. So we had an iPad version. And most recently, with the launch of the iPhoto app, It's now a universal app. So the iOS app is for both the iPad and the iPhone as well. So it sort of went through three stages, really, of development to get it to its current position.
And how's the reception been for the apps?
It's good. It's good. The problem is, and it's been an education for me as well in sort of going through the process of designing and publishing and you know, getting into the App Store and getting it out there. In that the biggest problem appears to be visibility. You know, just how do you get your application known on the App Store? Now, on the first couple of titles, the Lion one especially, that was great because a lot of the members obviously were curious about, you know, what I'd done. So a lot of the members actually bought into that, you know, and had quite significant downloads of the initial app. But it's tailed off a bit. I mean, it's still a steady stream of people getting it. But the biggest problem I can see really is trying to raise the visibility of the app and make people aware. And hopefully as more titles go in and these titles sort of come to people's attention, that will hopefully drive more sales from the other apps because they'll see one, they'll like it, and then they'll go looking for the other apps. So, and that's why I really wanted to get the branding sorted out. So, you know, SEO Tutor, people can just search for SEO Tutor and they'll see all the apps in sort of one page full.
Yeah, like I say, the biggest thing is getting lost in the App Store. So you've really got to be, I imagine, be your own self-marketer and just exploit social media beyond belief.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, as you know, I'm a big user of Twitter. I appear on lots of other podcasts as well. So that's my main way of sort of spreading the word. And of course, you know, the membership are great in that they will also promote. And the nice thing with these apps as well, especially the iPad and the Mac, you know, because they are intended to be for brand new users, lots of the Screencast Online members do tend up to get sort of drawn into being the family support service. So that if, you know, someone new in the family gets a Mac or gets an iPad, they're the person that they get sort of dragged into to help them out. So what I've found is a lot of people now, as soon as anyone gets a new Mac, they'll just say, you know, go and get this app and watch that first and then come back to me. And, you know, I'll help you from that point on. Because it's about, I mean, the Mac one's about 2.5 hours, I think, and the iPad one's about 2 hours. And it takes them, you know, from basics and takes them right the way through. So it's a really good tool. And people gift, I mean, you can gift the iOS apps as well. You can actually gift them. So a lot of people, as soon as they hear someone's got an iPad, they'll gift the app to that person and they'll use it. And it's, you know, it's a big productivity boon for them. And it also gets people off their back as well.
That was my plan. My stepdad's thinking about getting a new Mac, or getting a Mac, because he's never had one before. And that was exactly what I was going to do.
Well, yep, it's a good route, really. You know, it is a good idea to actually do that because, you know, people do find it very, very helpful. The Lion one was a bit different in that does assume some Mac knowledge, but that was the one, that was my very first one. And I went down the route of sort of looking to the future, and I sort of invested a lot of money in getting that translated. So that's actually available in like 5 different languages, just by the application once, but inside the Lion application, are 5 different translations, including Chinese and Brazilian Portuguese and all stuff like that. I did notice, though, that because it was considerably expensive to get that done, it didn't really pay back. Although I've made my money back overall, I've sort of had to step back from doing the multilingual versions because it's just so expensive to do and so time-consuming as well. You know, to get a 2-hour video and get it translated into multiple languages, it's very expensive and very time-consuming. So moving forward, unless things change and they get big demand from particular countries, they'll just have the English subtitles on for now.
Do I recall as well, around Christmas time when you was releasing it, you was running into some naming difficulties?
Yes, that's a story in itself, the trials and tribulations of trying to get apps into the App Store. It was a bit silly, really, because I ran up with the very first one with a problem of using a trademark, because it was initially I wanted to call them New To, you know, instead of SEO Tutor, I was going to call them New To. So New To Lion, New To Mac, New To iPad. So I put the first one in with all the icons and everything. New To Mac, New To Lion was the first one. But unfortunately, they got rejected because it used not so much the word lion, but because it had New To. You couldn't use To in the title for some reason. So when I sort of threw my hands up and said, well, what am I supposed to do? Because it's about Lion, it's got to have Lion. Well, they said I could use For Lion. So that then it became SEO Tutor For Lion. And I still to this day don't really understand why, you know, To wasn't allowed, but For is. But anyway, it sort of got through. And then the next one, I sort of hit a similar problem, but that was because it had Mac in the title. You know, and that's, again, that's a trademark. So I had a bit of a delay in getting that out. But a nice lady from Developer Relations contacted me from Cupertino and sort of explained the situation. She discussed it with her, you know, legal department, etc. And because they were tutorial applications, they were okay with them, and they sort of gave me a dispensation to actually use the product names in the titles of the applications. And touch wood, hopefully that should be okay moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. That's weird. Two and four, weird.
Yeah, very strange, very strange. But what can you do? I mean, it's so frustrating as well. I mean, I think I've said before on other podcasts, I really do empathize with these developers, you know, who spend a year developing an application from scratch and don't really know if it's actually going to get into the app store, you know, and you know, there can be a huge investment in time and money to get these apps done. And once you release it, that's it. It goes in and it's pretty much a faceless organization from that point on. If it does get rejected, there is an appeal procedure, etc. But and it was quite nice that they actually did ring me to discuss it at one point. But before then, it was so frustrating, you know, because all you can do is write back to them and explain, but you don't know how it's been received or how, you know, it's really weird. But I can fully, you know, my heart goes out to those developers who have had apps rejected and haven't been able to get them in because it must be soul destroying for them.
Absolutely. So you mentioned you might have you might make ScreenFlow into another app.
Yeah, don't tell anyone though. Yeah, no, I probably will actually, because that's quite a large topic, and I'll probably do that. I mean, I've got other stuff I've already done. I mean, I've done iPhoto on the Mac. I've done Final Cut Pro 10. You know, these are all sort of tutorials I could, if I wanted to, if I had the time, sort of pull them out, re-edit them, reassemble them into an app and put them in the App Store. I probably will over time. Aperture is another one. You know, I've got a three-part series on Aperture, but it's all down to time. I mean, the weekly show takes up so much of my time that it's very difficult to sort of do these additional projects, to be honest. But probably will be ScreenFlow might be the next one. Depends. And what I would like to do is leave it for a bit though, because obviously, you know, they're really done for the benefit of the membership. So, you know, I really want the members to get the content first and, you know, for everyone to download it and watch it and everything, because I'm not really in the business of trying to make the members buy additional stuff. So the sort of philosophy I have is everything that I've created so far has always gone out to the members first, and the members can download it and they can keep it. And with all the videos, you know, there's no DRM. So once they've downloaded it, they've got it forever. They don't need to go away and buy the app. Some people do though, because they like the convenience of having the app, you know, as a separate entity, and you know, you've got all the chapters. It's just sometimes a nice convenient form factor to watch the videos again. But members do get the content already. So, you know, I sort of like to leave it a couple of weeks grace before I think about putting them out as an app.
Okay. So the iPad, the Lion and the Mac ones are all £2.49 each. And the iPhoto one's 69p.
Yeah, up until the 1st of May. So that's just like a launch price until the end of this month. And then it'll just probably go back up to... that one's only about an hour. So I'll probably do that at like £1.99. I think that's probably go up to around the £2.49.
There you go, listeners. Grab it while you can. It's a bargain. Yes.
It's a bargain at £1.99.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
What it's taught me is unbelievable, so...
Fantastic. Yeah, well, it's. I mean, it's the true, and I get this not just on the apps, on the normal tutorials as well, because I have to go. If I'm going to teach someone how to use something, I need to know it inside out. And when you actually start looking at an application, and we mentioned in the pre-show, you know, like this afternoon, this week I'll be doing an iOS show on an application called Goodreader, and I've used Goodreader for ages, probably since it came out, but I only really use it for like two or three different things, and it can do so much more. And it's only when you sort of start picking things apart, delving in and looking at the documentation and experimenting with it, that, you know, these extra things pop out of the woodwork. And I was literally stunned today to fully appreciate exactly what it could do, because I'd only scratch the surface in my normal day-to-day. And that's the same with everyone. You know, if you're just using an application on a day-to-day basis, you'll just use it for the bits that, you know, are applicable to what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But because I need to go in and make sure I've got all bases covered, I'll delve in a lot more detail, and a lot more functionality comes out, and then I'm able to sort of translate that into the screencast and put that out. And then people benefit from that then, because they don't have to spend, you know, like I probably spent a good three or four hours today just using the app and delving in. But they'll get like a 20-minute screencast, which will be a condensed version of that, and they'll see all the functionality straight away.
Absolutely. This is what makes screencasts so good, because I don't have to read a manual. All I have to do is watch your videos, and you teach me everything I need to know.
Well, that's the idea. That's the idea. And of course, you've got the chapters so you can jump in. And I mean, even now, you know, there are some applications where I've gone into depth and I've pulled out all the functionality and I created a screencast. And then I perhaps haven't used it for another 3 or 4 months. I'll go back to my own screencast just to remind myself. You know, I'm sure that I can't quite remember how this particular application did this particular function. So, you know, I can just pull up the application, or rather pull up the video, go to the chapter, watch it for a few minutes. You know, the light bulb goes out on, rather, and you're away.
Well, that's good to know. To know that Don sometimes forgets how to use. I can just imagine your brain knowing all these things.
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible. But people do assume that. I still get, you know, I get loads of follow-up emails from people a couple of weeks. Because, again, not everyone will watch the show. And that's the beauty. The intention is that you know, I publish a show or two shows now every week. But, you know, I really don't expect people to watch them every week. Some people do. Some people watch them religiously as soon as they come out. Other people will just download them and keep them. And then, you know, they mightn't have that particular application, or they mightn't have a need for that particular screencast at any one time. But 3 months down the road, you know, they have a need for it. So they'll go back and they'll look at it, and then they'll do me an email. And then at that point, you know, just a bit of a query, and I go, oh, yeah, hang on a minute. But I can normally respond sensibly.
That's okay. So, Don, how long has Screencast Online been going, and what was your inspiration for starting it in the first place?
Well, it goes back quite a while. It was originally a hobby. I started it in 2006, and it's a story I've told many, many times, but basically I only started using the Mac in 2000 and, the beginning of 2006. It was when the Mac Mini first came out. Or was that 2005? Yeah, 2005, 2006, around that time anyway. I went full-time in 2006. So I think I actually started the podcast in 2005. That's it. Yeah, so the Mac Mini came out, I think, January 2005. And I was sort of sold on the Mac from that point on. I mean, I'd always been into computers and PCs. My daytime job at the time was, you know, sort of looking after PCs and stuff. So, and I'd sort of lost my enthusiasm for computing. I used to be really enthusiastic about it. And so that sort of feeling a bit jaded, and you know, Windows wasn't doing it for me. And then when I got my Mac Mini, that sort of all sort of re-energized myself. I got into it again. And so in the summer of 2005, I was listening to podcasts. You know, that's when podcasts were just starting off. And I quite liked the medium. And then I started to do a couple of screencasts for, it was for family initially, just to show them, because I've been enthusing about the Mac. And one of my relatives actually bought a Mac. So I did a couple of screencasts just to demonstrate to her how to use it. And then it's sort of, you know, another light bulb moment. You know, why don't I use the screencast, which is just basically a, you know, it's a movie file, deliver that as a podcast. So I did that as a hobby for 3 or 4 months, and you know, it got a lot of interest and it got lots of followers, but it was completely free at that point. And then it was only when people started to offer to make donations to support the bandwidth, etc., that I sort of accepted a couple of donations. And then sort of realized that, well, perhaps if I did things slightly differently and added extra value, that I could actually, you know, make a membership system out of it. Never really thought that it would take over and become a full-time job. But round about the sort of late spring in 2006, I think it was, things had gone so well that I decided to just, you know, take a punt and do it full-time. And I've really been doing it full-time ever since.
And still enjoying it, I take it.
Yeah, it's hard work. It's hard work. It's still a relatively small operation. There's only myself who does basically everything to do with the production side of stuff. My wife helps out on the admin side as well. So, you know, it's a lot of work, lots of overheads with running the membership system. But, you know, I do enjoy it. You know, it's one of those things whereby, you know, I do look forward to doing my screencasts every week. It's great. Yeah, so still, and it's brought lots of other benefits as well, you know, sort of travel and going to Macworld and stuff like that. So it's worked out really well.
Okay. Can you remember what your first one was?
Yeah, it was to do with, I think it was about RSS, I think. There was a couple around that time. It's painful to watch now. In fact, people keep asking me, because I think if you become a member, you can download, I think it's SEO 003. And four and onward. So those old ones are still available. But one and two, I've disappeared. I think one was just an MP3 file that explained how to use the old website. And number two, I think, was a similar sort of thing, you know, and they're completely out of date now. But I think episodes from three onwards are still available, and it's awful going back. Wouldn't believe it, you know, but Yeah, things change. You always improve over time anyway.
That's true. So how many have you done so far?
This week I'm doing episode 343.
Wow.
But that's it's probably more than that because I didn't sort of stick to a standard sort of numbering convention. There were some weeks when I did, you know, A and B. In fact, a couple of weeks I did a series about podcasting and it was A, B, C, D and E. So it's probably more in the region of 370, something like that. But the current episode going out this week will be episode 343. And since January, I've been doing an iOS one as well. So I think that's up to number 53.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of knowledge there that at people's fingertips, I tell you.
Well, it is, and you know that's one of the selling points behind the membership. It's not just the weekly shows, although people I think tend to want the membership for the weekly shows because it's always current, it's always up to the minute stuff. But you know, you have that big archive as well that you can go back in and dip into and pull out. So that's it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work to put that number of shows together.
So amongst that nearly 400 shows, do you have a few favourites?
You know, I don't really. I suppose in some respects, I've always, every year or so, I tend to do a behind-the-scenes show, which sort of snapshots the current production process that I go through to create the shows. And I quite enjoy doing them. It's sort of like pulling back the curtain so you can see what's happening behind the scenes. I did one of them, I think, around about Christmas time, which was my sort of, I've since moved on and changed the production flow anyway, but that was like a snapshot in time of how it was. And I did one, I think, for my 200th show, I did a similar one. So it'll be nice perhaps in another couple of years to go back and pull those out and just see the pain I used to go through sort of creating the shows every week, you know, and how that's eased over the years.
I was about to say, has the process gotten easier?
It has. Now, I use it as several different tools to both publish the show and also to create the show. Before this year, I used to use Rapid Weaver for the website. I used to use ScreenFlow to record the show. Then I'd load that into Final Cut Pro, and then I'd use Feeder for my RSS feeds. And then the before or five different applications that I sort of used to for different stages of the process. Whereas now I've got a brand new website. It's a custom built. A sort of content management system that Jamie Peake, the guy who helped out on the graphics for the app, has designed and built. So basically now it's to create a show, I just fill in a page and that generates all the feeds. It generates the web pages. It generates lots of information surrounding the publishing of the show. And then on the production side, I've gone over to ScreenFlow completely now. So instead of using Final Cut Pro, I both record and edit and output in ScreenFlow. So that makes life simpler. And also, I've developed some scripts that manipulate Handbrake, because there are you know, three different versions of the show for the Mac show. There are two different versions, in fact, three versions now for the iOS show. There are two free versions as well, or trailers. So that the whole process of taking like the master file and generating all the different versions used to take me forever. And now I've got a Bash script that actually automates Handbrake and does that for me. I basically just throw the master files at it, run the script, and it spits out. The various versions with the subtitles embedded, and also with the podcast graphics embedded in the file as well, and then it's just a matter of uploading them and doing some testing. So this year it's changed significantly, really.
Wow. So how long does it take you to do a show then? How long would you say a show takes you to produce from beginning to end?
I normally go by a rule of thumb of 3 days. I suppose I could probably chop it down to 2 days now if I was really pushing it. But if I to make sure I'm not sort of working silly hours, I sort of try and give myself 3 days to do both shows in effect, to be honest. It used to be three days. That's probably where the time saving comes in, you know, with the extra streamlining of the production process. Instead of doing one show in 3 days, I can now do two shows. So I do the Mac show and the iOS show. So that will probably entail, you know, a full day of recording the two shows, a full day of editing the two shows, and then the final day is all the post-production stuff, you know, the publishing side of it. So if I aim for 3 days out of the week, that's normally a good rule of thumb.
And last, how do you zero in on what apps you're going to do tutorials about?
It's difficult, really. I mean, I get lots of suggestions from people, so I keep sort of like a separate notebook in Evernote, which is full of emails and stuff that people have sent asking for stuff. But I only really do stuff that I'm really interested in and that I think other people would be interested in as well. I have to be sort of enthusiastic about it. It has to be something that I, and in some respects, I would recommend. Because to a lot of people, the show's turned into a bit of a recommendation engine. I mean, people haven't got the time to try all the latest software when it comes out. And even if they did, they really wouldn't know perhaps where it fits into their workflow or how they might use it. So, you know, I tend to only cover applications that I think have a bit of a wow factor around them. And I think people will enjoy and, you know, will be impressed by. So that sort of is a bit self-selecting in itself. So, you know, and there's tons of software out there. It's just a matter of going out and picking the best ones. But yeah, there's no end of suggestion. So it's one of those areas. And again, you know, Apple keep coming out with new versions of software. You know, when the new version of iWorks comes out, that'll be probably sorted for a couple of months while I go through all those applications. You know, new versions of OS X come out, new versions of iOS. All the good applications, all the big applications tend to come up with updates. So, you know, if I haven't covered an application, I've probably covered most of the big apps by now. But if a major update comes out, I'll cover that. It's really, and I don't do shows many, many weeks in advance. It's never, unless I'm going away and I have to do shows in advance, it's never more than a week, 2 weeks in advance, which is a double-edged sword because, you know, the last couple of weeks I've not been very well. So one of the shows was a bit short, but it's nice to keep current. You know, I can sort of reflect what's going on at that particular time. So if something new comes out, I can sort of drop my plans and just go ahead and cover a new application when it comes out.
Absolutely. Well, I, for one, Don, I'm very glad you're doing what you're doing because it makes my life so much easier.
Well, I'll keep doing it as long as you keep subscribing. And
thank you very much.
Et cetera.
So as anyone who listens to the Mac Show knows, you are the Don. And whenever you say the Apple Store goes down, it goes down. So when is the iWorks coming out? When have you given them permission to release it?
You know, I think iWorks and iLife, I think we'll see some big updates in the summer. I think it's all tied into Mountain Lion. I think it's all going to be, you know, heavily iCloud focused. And I don't think iCloud is fully baked yet. I think when Mountain Lion comes out, I think then we'll see, you know, the true iCloud, what it should have been when they actually released it. I think really iCloud, although it's nice now, it only really works properly, to be honest, with iOS apps. Mm-hmm. And we'll see the full version of iCloud come out when Mountain Lion comes out. So I would imagine Mountain Lion, iWork and iLife, they'll all come out within weeks of each other, if not simultaneously.
Absolutely. Well, Don, thanks for joining me. It's been fantastic chatting to you.
Good. Well, thanks for inviting me.
And like I say, so Don's got iPhoto, iPad, Lion and Mac, all CSO tutors in the App Store, ready for you to go and download and learn or share with other people so they can learn and you don't have to teach them. You couldn't ask for more.
Indeed.
This show and all the other shows on the network is brought to you by UK2.net. They handle all our bandwidth demands, and without them, the network couldn't carry on. We have some offer codes you could use if you want to buy any of their services, which we'd greatly appreciate if you did. If you just go to our website and scroll down till you find the UK2.net link, you buy anything in there and use the offer code BAGELTECH, you'll get 15% off. And if you use the offer code BAGELDNS, they'll waive any DNS management charges. You can use them in conjunction with each other as well. So it really is a good deal. They have Facebook integration, iframe integration, sorry, at the moment going on. VPN servers, dedicated servers as well. And the new service at the moment is Site Builder. And at the moment, you can win a new iPad, but just by entering their competition where you vote on who's got the best site built out of Site Builder. You never know. You could be holding a new iPad in your hand if you win. Well, thanks again, Don. Where can people get hold of you if they want to follow you?
Yeah, well, they can find me over at my day job is at screencastonline.com, and they can have a look there at the iOS and the Mac tutorials published each week. They can find me on Twitter as Don McAllister and over on my blog as themacscreencastguy.com. And, of course, if they just search for SEO Tutor on the Mac App Store or the iTunes App Store, they'll find all those different applications.
Excellent stuff. Well, thanks for joining us. My name's Carl. You can get me on Twitter at Claw0101 if you so wish. Until next time, stay safe. See you soon.